Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of what is considered one of the greatest upsets in Olympic track and field history, when the virtually unknown Billy Mills won the 10,000-meter run at the 1964 Tokyo Games. Here's the dramatic call from NBC analyst Dick Bank as Billy Mills put on a sudden burst of speed to win the gold medal.
He's coming up. He's passing the Mooney. Look at Mills. Coming on. Mills is coming on. Oh. No. It might be Bill Mills. What a tremendous surprise here. Bill Mills from the United States wins the 10,000 meters.
That was the television call of Billy Mills' historic 10,000-meter race at the 1964 Olympic Games in Tokyo. That happened 50 years ago yesterday, October 14th, 1964, and Mills remains the only American to win the 10,000-meter gold. Billy Mills grew up on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and since the race, he's been devoted to giving back to the community. He's the co-founder of the nonprofit Running Strong for American Indian Youth. Yesterday, Mills and the organization announced the Dream Starter Grant Program to help American Indian youth with their dreams, and Billy Mills joins us on the line. And Mr. Mills, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be on the program, and I've been spending the last couple of weeks in South Dakota and North Dakota, so I just got back last night.
Well, we just listened to the call from your race 50 years ago. How vivid, how strong is your memory of that race today?
My memory is as if it happened yesterday. Now, the gold medal is so far beyond in our past, but the memories are as if it happened yesterday, and I can almost feel the excitement of the crowd if I just close my eyes and meditate. But the real strong, powerful feeling is the fact that I was truly able to take that one moment in time and choreograph a lifetime giveaway to give back to the people that empowered me, and just taking one of the most powerful virtues of the Lakota culture, the giveaway, and spend my life giving back because I felt that one moment in time was a gift to me.
So how did you go from the Pine Ridge Reservation to becoming an Olympic gold medalist?
You know, I look back, and I can say this now, it's just tremendous, tremendous, beautiful feelings inside. But when my mom died, my dad, and these were not my dad's words, but as I matured, how I grew to understand them, he told me I had broken wings. And he said, you have to look beyond the hurt, the hate, the jealousy, the self-pity. All of those emotions destroy you. Way down deeper where the dreams lie. Find your dream, son. It's the pursuit of a dream that heals broken souls. And my dad died when I was 12. Went off to Haskell Indian School when it was a high school. And I thought my dad wanted me to be an athlete. So I got involved in track and field and excelled quite quickly. Came out of high school as one of the top distance runners in the world, and remembering one of the first books I ever read, it was a collection of articles bound by a Jesuit priest, and my dad somehow or another borrowed or was given this, what I call a book, and read it to me. One of the comments, I'm just a little boy, said, Olympians are chosen by the gods. And then I wanted to be chosen by the gods. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the Olympic Games, but I just thought, perhaps if I'm chosen by the gods, I would be able to see my mother again. And that started the journey, and ultimately won the gold medal at the Olympic Games twofold. Started because I wanted to become an Olympian so I might be able to see my mother again. Secondly, my dad told me I had broken wings. You do these things, son, someday you'll have wings of an eagle. So that race for me was twofold, trying to win the gold medal as I matured. Far more important, I was trying to heal a broken soul. And then the only way I can describe that is with about 90 meters to go, and my thoughts being I may never be this close again. That thought was so powerful, I was never that close again. But it was, I may never be this close again. I've got to do it now. I'm going to win. but I may not get to the finish line first, contradicting myself. And then just wings of an eagle, then the tape breaking across my chest. In a sense, I like to say I went from the sacredness of the Black Hills to to Mount Ord, University of Kansas. So somewhere or another, I was attracted to the mountain concept. My dad would never really say the words, but it would be like for me to seek the horizon of my future or to go to the mountaintop and look beyond. So the sacredness of the Black Hills, to Mount Ord, made the Olympic team, go to Tokyo, Japan, and I was memorized by Mount Fuji and winning a gold medal and gained entrance into that very elite fraternity of Olympians among Mount Olympus.
In watching the video from 50 years ago, you see that you're one of the three runners in the lead, and at some point it looks like you're going to come in third, but then you put on that amazing burst of speed, and it sounds like that's what you were describing, what you were thinking, what was going through your mind as you just suddenly broke through and won.
Yes, in fact, I'll share it through the words and through the eyes of another runner, Muhammad Gamoudi. I'll be seeing Muhammad Gamoudi at the end of October in Washington, D.C., when we will celebrate our athletic journey.
Because he was one of the runners in that race.
He got second to me in 1964. He won the 5,000 in Mexico City, and then he got second to Leslie Verne in Munich in 1972. So he has a gold and then two silver. But Muhammad said, he beat me a year before in Belgium. He told me, more speed. In Tokyo, when I won, he said, too much speed. In 2012, we're having lunch in London at the 2012 Games. His daughter, Nadia, said, my daddy wants me to tell you this, Billy. One lap to go. There was Clark, the world record holder. You, Billy, and my daddy. 1, 2, and 3. And you moved on Clark's shoulder. And Muhammad sensed that Clark and I were very alert, so he had to be alert. What he did not know was 1 year before the Olympic Games, I was diagnosed as hypoglycemic and then borderline diabetic. There's no such thing as borderline diabetic. I am type 2 diabetic, and I go low blood sugar. I was starting to go low blood sugar at that point with about 300 meters to go. Clark tries to, I had Clark boxed in. He nudged me like I should just move away and let him get out. I had him legally boxed in, so I wouldn't move. So Clark pushed me. I stumbled. Then Nadia Gamoudi said, my daddy saw the moment to strike, but his first words were, my poor friend Billy, he's out of the race. I must focus on the world record holder, Ron Clark. My daddy struck. That window was open. You recovered, Billy, and you legally cut my daddy off. He either had to slow down, go around you, or break between you and Clark. My daddy broke between you and Clark. Once again, you're pushed. Muhammad said, poor Billy, my friend, he's definitely out of the race. I must focus on the world record holder, Ron Clark. Now, from my perspective, my words, 120 meters to go, it was now, I've got to go now, trying to catch them, lifting my knees, pumping my arms, slowly, slowly gaining. As I come off the curve, I pass a runner that we lapped, moved from lane 1 to lane 5 as I go by, and I just glance out of the corner of my eye, and I saw on the front of that runner's singlet was an eagle. And for me, it was wings of an eagle. I can win, I can win, I can win. And I may never be this close again. I've got to do it now. And what I just described to you, from Muhammad's standpoint, his daughter said, my daddy was in lane 2. Clark was in lane 3. We passed stragglers. Lane 1 is open. My daddy looked, 30 meters to go. No Billy. He looked. Clark, the world record holder, was fading behind. She said, my daddy said, 30 meters to go, and he's the Olympic champion. Then she said, my daddy said you are an American Indian, and you were like an arrow being shot out of a bow. Boom! You go by my daddy, and you won. And he was so, so happy for you. Well, my words were, I may never be this close again. I've got to do it now. I'm going to win, but I may not get to the finish line first. Wings of an eagle, then I won, I won, I won. Muhammad's words were, you were like an arrow being shot out of a bow. You went by my daddy, and you won. when I won, I go looking for the German runner to tell him that eagle on your singlet helped me win. There was no eagle there. It was just a perception. I just imagined it. Muhammad said, I was so happy for you when you won. My response to Nadia 2012 in London, why? Looking at Muhammad, I beat you. And he wiggled his finger. He doesn't speak English, but he understands, speaks Arabic and French. She said, my daddy said you didn't beat him, you won. And I said, explain. And she said, my daddy said to win in the manner in which you won. That was your moment. You were given that moment. It was like a gift. And I've always said that moment was a gift to me from the Creator. So here, a friend of mine of Islamic faith, Muslim, me as Christian and strong belief in my Native American spirituality and culture, we're coming together. We're bonding because of sport and sharing that moment in time. But I felt when I, there's a few months, maybe over a year goes by, and I'm struggling with, why did I think I'm going to win? But I may not get to the finish line first. For me, the way I ended up interpreting that was, number one, I was going to heal a broken soul. And number two, I'd try to win an Olympic gold medal. And Muhammad's words, that was my time. That was my gift. I was given both. Healed a broken soul and won the Olympic gold.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Olympic legend Billy Mills. It was 50 years ago yesterday that he won the 10,000-meter race at the 1964 Tokyo Games, considered one of the greatest upsets in Olympic track and field history. And Mr. Mills, we only have a few minutes left here, but I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about your work for American Indian youth, and you're co-founder of Running Strong for American Indian Youth. And yesterday you announced a new grant program called Dream Starter, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, Dream Starter, I wish my wife Patricia was on, because she's the working bee in the office here. But basically, it's 50 grants representing 50th anniversary, $10,000 grants representing the 10,000 meter run, and grants for 5 years. And it is just a tremendously positive feeling to be able to take one moment in time and have a board on my Running Strong for America Indian Youth board that Gene Krisik and I founded, and to have the compassionate people throughout America, excuse me, to have very compassionate people throughout America want to lend a helping hand to help dreams come true in different poverty pockets of America where we're still struggling. So I feel so blessed. And then I feel so honored on the 50th anniversary of me winning a gold medal, because that moment was a gift to me. And I've tried to orchestrate the rest of my life giving back. And these grants are one way, through the help of many, many people throughout America, that I can give back and help empower the dreams of other people.
Do you see yourself as something of a role model for Native American youth, and maybe for all young people?
You know, I don't see myself as a role model. I see myself maybe as a mentor, being able to take the culture, the tradition, the spirituality, and the virtues and the values that empower culture, tradition, and spirituality, and transfer out those virtues and values and put them into current-day educational pursuits, entrepreneurial pursuits, into your family life, into an Olympic pursuit like I did. And if I can be a mentor, then I feel blessed. And I want to tell you who the role models are. October 12th, 3 days ago, a young Hoto Indian man running on my Running Strong team for American Indian Youth to raise funds for the poverty pockets of Native American communities, running on my team Running Strong that runs in the Marine Corps Marathon, the People's Marathon, one of the most humanitarian marathons in the world, United States Marine Corps Marathon. He's running on one of the charitable teams, Running Strong American Indian Youth, to help raise funds to inspire the and improve the lives of not only the Indian youth on the reservation, but a lot of the elders. While he's out training, goes by a home in the rural area he's running. A man follows him, asks him, what are you doing? Who are you running from? This Oto young Indian boy says, I'm running for training for a marathon. He's on the Running Strong for American Indian Youth team. The People's Marathon, Washington, D.C., the United States Marine Corps Marathon. And the man says, you better start running then, and opened fire on him. He could feel bullets going by his head. One bullet hit him in the leg. He's recovering. He's going to be there at the Marine Corps Marathon, running for the American Indian Youth. People like him are our heroes.
Well, Mr. Mills, we're out of time, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you. My honor.